This is Forrest Elise interviewing Keelan Maney on August 15th at 4, at what?
2:20.
Okay. So, can you maybe take us back to the time, around the time of the conception of the pregnancy, and like, is there anything memorable to kind of situate us? You know, was it like sweltering summer or something?
It was the end of the summer. I think it was my husband's birthday, so we make a joke. She's the birthday baby. And it was kind of a surprise when I found out that I was pregnant. Like, did not expect it at all. And we were moving in from a townhouse to a house, and I was very exhausted for some reason. And I let the boys carry all the furniture. Usually I help carry heavy stuff. I was like, you know, I'm going to let you guys do that. And then I went to work one day and felt very nauseous and sick. And I went to the doctor, and he thought, oh, you just have a sinus infection. And I was about to go to Mexico City. And I was like, you know, I should probably take a pregnancy test just in case. I went home, took a pregnancy test. My husband was talking to his sister-in-law on the phone, and I was like, it was like, yes. And I was like, oh, that's never said yes before. And so, and my husband at the time was like, he was like, kind of like, I don't know, you know, having kids, it's like, it's kind of nice not having kids because we were married for 5 years. But then I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to go tell him. So I went and I told him, and like, he was ecstatic. And he was like, to my sister-in-law, he's like, I got to go. Like, he didn't want to tell her yet. And so he was, it was a great experience, but it definitely was a surprise. And we said we wanted a child in the first 5 years. And I was like, is that we will have a child in the first 5 years, or we will start to have a child after 5 years? And it turned out that she was born 2.5 weeks after our 5th anniversary. So it was 5 years. So good timing, though.
So I love this. So it was just birthday sex?
I think so, yeah. That's the way it went.
You know, it's funny because a lot of women know exactly when the conception was.
Right.
They totally do, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely was around that time. So if it wasn't on, it was like that week or something. Yeah. So.
And then also I found a lot of women take the pregnancy test right before they go on a trip. We've had a lot of that, and even I was that way too. So what was your feeling, like, emotionally when you knew I'm pregnant? And...
Well, I felt so sick, like nauseous sick, and then I was really excited. I'm adopted, so this was like, wow, I'm going to have my own kid. This is great. So I was really excited, and I kind of, like, was unsure but excited, and it was like a mixed emotions, as with most major things in your life, that it was like I was really happy and excited, but then I was like kind of sad. And so I was sad because, like, I'm estranged from my adopted family, and so then I was like, oh wow, this is like on me, even though I had my husband's family, they like adopted me and all that, but it was still like there was that kind of part of me of like, okay, I'm kind of on my own as a mom. Like, I don't have anyone to refer to. I mean, I could kind of ask my husband's mom, but not too much. So, but mostly I was excited to have this being and get to name them and then see what they're going to turn out to be. It's like, I'll do a better job. I'm like, I hope I do a better job. So.
It must have been hard not to have a support network then. Did you have a lot of friends that were having babies? Or?
No. I was the only one out of all my friends. I was the first one out of all my friends. And I might still... one of my girlfriends has a 5-year-old now. But I have a lot of friends that are gay. So, and my best friend probably will never have children. There's some issue where she doesn't know if she can, but then alongside that, she doesn't know if she wants to either. So, and she didn't get married until maybe 8 years ago. So yeah. So I was the first one. I was the first one out of my friends to get married, and I was the first one to have a baby. And when I had Alice, I was, 35 years old. So, which is really, so my network of friends are all very independent and, you know, I don't know, just not the type to get married and hunker down and have a family kind of situation. So
I find that it's harder to make the decision to decide if you want a child or not want a child when you're at risk of maybe not being able to have one.
Yeah.
But when you're capable, it's like.
Yeah. And I didn't know, like, because I'm adopted and I didn't know my family history. But I assumed I would be able to because I figured I was probably, like, some kind of accident. And that's probably why I'm adopted. So I was like, well, I probably could if I really wanted to. So, yeah, but obviously I could. So that was never a issue, thank God.
Did you make the conscious effort to, like, get off birth control around the time?
So, well, we're Catholic. My husband's like Mr. Catholic. And, you know, so we use natural family planning. And so when we got married, our friends were laughing at us like, that's not going to work. Because I took the pill for a long time and I had all the side effects. And then I tried the Depo-Provera shot. And the first time it was great. Second time, I was like 3 months chaotic mess. And then my husband at the time, like we were dating, but he was like, why don't you just go off of it and we'll try this natural family planning and we'll just see what happens. And it worked. It worked for 5 years. So, and like, really, I think I was getting lazy and tracking my ovulation cycle. So I really think that that's how it all happened. But for the most part, like, if you do it, it completely works. So it works to get pregnant and it works not to get pregnant.
So have you been doing that for the last 10 years too?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we just follow that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Depo-Provera put me into menopause.
Really?
In my 20s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was bizarre. Yeah, it's horrible.
How did you get out?
I had to get off of it and I had to take estrogen.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I was like, my vagina was a menopausal vagina. Like, it was bizarre.
Wow.
Chemicals, it's like really scary. They just don't know.
You
know?
Yeah, no,
their
I have.
Testing time isn't.
Yeah, I heard students taking Depo, and I'm like, I don't say anything, but I'm like, it's like the word. I'm like, oh.
Okay, so let's see. How was the physical symptoms of pregnancy?
I was sick all the time, like sick, throwing up, sick. I was teaching and I told my students, I'm like, if you see me running outside, don't follow me because I will throw up on you. So I was constantly nauseous. I felt like a completely different person because I'm usually a pretty healthy person, but any smell, like everything had a smell and every smell was absolutely obnoxious. And especially because like when I first got pregnant, our trip, we went to Mexico City. So it was like the city of bad smells. And so it was just like one way of not puking after another the whole time, and like constant headaches. And but you know, someone told me, it was like, well, if you're sick all the time, you'll have a healthy baby. So I'm like, okay. But there were times when I was throwing up so much that I was becoming dehydrated, and then they were like, well, if you can't keep anything down, you're gonna have to go to the hospital. And the doctor did give me some anti-nausea medicine finally that kind of curbed at least the throwing up part. I still felt nauseous, but I wasn't throwing up. And I lost like 30 or 40 pounds in my first 6 months of pregnancy. So, and then after 6 months, the nausea went away. And then I was able to eat and, you know, do all those things for the next 3 months. And then my last month, I became nauseous again. But by the time she was fully developed, so, you know, I was like huge and all that stuff. So obviously it was going to be fine. But yeah, just from the pressure and all that, I think that pressure on my stomach was not a good thing. So
was she sitting high?
Yeah, she sat pretty high. Yeah, and she would move around all the time. Especially when I was still like driving the car or laying down, then that was her time of like movement. So yeah.
So how much weight did you ultimately gain?
I think I gained 20 pounds. Like, I mean, I lost like 30 or so. And then I gained like 50 pounds, but really in the end on the weight that I had initially started out with, I gained 20 pounds.
So you must have walked out of the hospital without those 20 pounds then.
Yeah, I lost 20 pounds. So I was pretty close to the weight. Yeah. Yeah. And then breastfeeding kind of, I kept the weight down too. So that was kind of nice. But I've never been a skinny person. So like I was like a stick or anything, but I did kind of bounce back pretty quickly to my other weight, which was nice.
So, okay. So let's see. I guess we can get into the labor part. Do you remember how that started? Did you have a plan? I guess I should say first.
So, I have a nephew that was born 6 months before Alice, and I have a very good friend that had a child 6 months before Alice. So they had their babies a week apart from each other, and my friend had hers naturally. It was the second child. And my sister-in-law had hers in a hospital with an epidural. And so my first friend had it in the birthing center in a tub, and she was terribly uncomfortable, screaming at the top of her lungs. The baby was fine, and in the end, she, you know, after she delivered, she was very relaxed and just, like, took a nap after she held the baby and everything. But then I went, and then after that, her husband was like, wow, that's not nearly as bad as the first time. And I was like, the first time. So, and then my thing is, the fear of that is that if anything medically goes wrong and you're in a birthing center, like, they still have to take you to the hospital, you or the child to the hospital, and that's time. That's time that the baby could need, or you need, more importantly, the baby could need, that, you know, if there's resuscitation or something. And so being a person who does not know my family history, I was like, I didn't want to take that risk. So then my sister-in-law gave birth, and she had an epidural, and she had the whole entire family in, and her husband videotaped the whole thing. And I sat on the side and watched. I didn't watch from the center because I thought I might throw up, but I watched from the side. And so that kind of was like, well, I think I'm going to go epidural route, because just because I don't know my family history, I think I should be in a hospital. Just in case. I have a friend whose sister-in-law had to have an emergency C-section at the very last minute and did not have an epidural, and she could literally feel them cutting her open in the C-section because she had not been numb yet. So I was like, didn't want that to happen either. So yeah, so I voted for epidural. So that was the plan. Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess that's it.
So all of you had been then, going to the doctor, mm-hmm. for checkups and stuff, and everything was copacetic. And
yeah, so I went to the doctor, had all the tests, everything was great. The doctor, I did not like my doctor. He was not a nice person. I mean, I had a very healthy child, which was nice, but like I had the stomach flu somewhere in there, and like I literally could not keep anything down. And he was just like, he basically was like, you just gotta suck it up. I'm not going to help. You know, he wasn't going to help me. He wasn't going to do anything. And then I went outside, and we were getting in the car, and I started throwing up again. And my husband went back in the doctor, and he's like, listen, she's throwing up again. Isn't there anything we can do? And then he ended up doing something. I can't remember what it was, but he ended up doing something. So at least it would subside me throwing up so much, so I could just like get through the whatever I had, the little bug. But it was just, and then in the delivery, he wasn't there the whole time until it was time to catch. Like, the nurses were the ones who did everything, and then he kind of just came in at the last second, and then that was it, so.
You know, we've had some other women who were 35 when they conceived, mm-hmm. and they said their doctor told them it was a geriatric pregnancy.
Really?
Yeah. So there wasn't any age things where they were like, oh, you were higher risk for anything?
You know what? No, I think I was like 34. I was like right before the risk, because my sister-in-law was in the risk area. She was between, she might have been 37 at the time. So, so she did have the gestational diabetes with her, and it was her second child. So, but I didn't really have any of those issues. Yeah. Which is nice, except for throwing up.
So, okay, so can you take us back to, like, around, what time of year was it then you were?
So it was in May, and so I try not to get through this part without crying, but my brother-in-law died a week before my daughter was, which is, my sister-in-law had her son 6 months before, and it was her husband that died. And so he found out he had pancreatic cancer 3 days after her son was born. So it was difficult, to say the least, emotionally. Like, the whole family was just a mess. Like, so I felt a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Thanks. So it was hard. It was hard for everyone to go to a funeral, you know, and his funeral, I think, was on the day that we thought Alice was due. And so it turned out that she was going to be late, and she ended up to be born on the oldest son's, his oldest son's birthday, which was really crazy. And even him, even the oldest son, Sam, he was, like, in the hospital room that day going, could you, like, wait till tomorrow? Because he wanted his own birthday. And I was like, sorry, honey, it's just... But now, I mean, now they're older, so... And he's always kind of taken her under his wing, so it's kind of sweet that he's done that for her. So that part was really hard because it was... It's my husband's whole family, and so... And they've always been, like, very together. And when that happened, it put an instant, like, splinter through the whole entire family. Like, one of my husband's sisters just completely separated from the family. Like, I don't exactly know how it all happened. My brother-in-law had twins on the way. They were due in 6 more months, and... That actually kind of ended the marriage because he was at the funeral going, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. And so, yeah, so that was emotionally really difficult. So because, like, his whole family was there, and then my family wasn't there. And, you know, yeah, it was tough. And, like, even though my husband's mother is a very sweet person, she's not a very outspoken person. She's very quiet and reserved. And so my sister-in-law was kind of more of that role for me because she was like, I just had a baby. So here she is, her husband had just passed away. And then she was the one being, like, kind of more of that role model for me, which was very sweet. Yeah, very tough at the same time, to say the least. So, did I answer your question? Or
does it come back every birthday? I mean, do you have that flow of emotion again?
You know, I don't. Just when I have to talk about it, it's just such a hard thing. And, like, for the most part, if I talk about with my husband's family, I won't cry because I just don't feel like I have that freedom to. But if I'm out on my own, then I will. So then it's like, so I'm not really quite sure what that's about. But yeah, did I answer your question?
So, were you very close with him, your brother-in-law?
My brother-in-law, you know, actually, we were not that close. He was the second husband of my sister-in-law. He was the father of both of her children. She had been married to my other sister-in-law, her younger sister's husband's brother. Which is very strange. And so she had married him at a very young age, and then they got divorced because they were young and it just didn't work out. And then she met, Dave, and they started dating. But because it was so soon after her divorce, you know, I don't know if she worked everything out, but there was a time in the relationship where they had separated. And then they came back together. And then when they came back together, a year or two later, they got married. And for some reason, the sister-in-law, who's married to the brother, she didn't like him. She took that time that they took apart very personally, and she decided that she hated him. And so she kind of wedged him away a lot. And so all of this happened before I started dating my husband. And so when I came on the scene, I think they got married maybe the weekend my husband and I started date. Like, my husband and I went on a date, and then he was like, oh yeah, my sister-in-law's getting married, or my sister's getting married this weekend. I'm going to the wedding. So I think that I was like kind of there on the cusp of it. But by the time I came in the family, he was kind of always, if he came over, he would sit in the corner. You know, he didn't really communicate with a lot. Even though he had known my husband and they had like gone on trips together, he would talk to him, but he never necessarily like went out of his way to speak to me. But the thing that's painful to me is just the fact that the family's separated, you know, and they miss him. He's, you know, he was a very nice man. And so that's, I think that's the difficult thing. So even though I didn't know him personally, it's more about the effect that had on my sister-in-law and the two kids. Yeah. And then, you know, my child, knowing that, you know, her cousins that she's very close to, they don't have a father. And then my husband steps in, and I even call my sister-in-law my sister-wife. Because my husband, whenever there's an issue, or, you know, he'll go over there, he's the one who takes care of them or does whatever, or I will. So we're over there a lot, and we're close.
She's a local.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking to her. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's a fantastic, amazing person. And
is
has
this the one that had the C-section?
No. She had both of hers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's May.
It's May.
And then what?
So, okay, well, actually, what we wanted to do, this is what we wanted to do. It was our fifth wedding anniversary. I was pregnant, and we wanted to have a wedding anniversary party and have Elvis renew our vows in our backyard with me barefoot and pregnant. We thought that that would be very funny. But because my brother-in-law passed away, we didn't get to do that. So we didn't get to do that. But it was May. And the funeral happened, and then it was kind of like a waiting game. So I didn't go back to work. After my brother-in-law died, I just took off work, didn't go back to work until Alice was born. So I was supposed to give birth. We went to the doctor, and he was like, well, we'll give it some more time. We gave it more time. And then they finally called us and said, well, okay, come in the hospital, and we'll have to induce you. And so I was induced, and it took about 48 hours of being induced, lots of walks. And so finally they said, well, we should probably start you on your epidural because you're going to go into labor soon. You might have some pain, and it's going to be sudden, and so let's start you on that. So he started me on that, and then the doctor came in to check, and he checked and left, and he said, well, you're not really dilated. And then the nurse came in to check, and she asked me, she goes, did you ever have any kind of cryogenic surgery on your cervix? And I said, yeah, why? And she goes, oh, that's what's going on. And she went and got the doctor. And then the doctor, I guess because I had this surgery, he had to go in, and I had scar tissue on my, he had to go in and break the scar tissue open, and then so I could become dilated. So I had put all this information in my file when I, of course, went to see him. So I was really surprised that I had to say this again or mention it, or I never thought of it. So he did that, and he said, well, it's a good thing you had an epidural because that would have been extremely painful, and I don't even know if I could have done it without one. So, but then after that, then I immediately became dilated. And
so you, for 2 days, were on Pitocin and not dilated because of the scar tissue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you were on the Pitocin, though, you weren't having cramps or anything?
Mm-mm. They had me walking laps around the hospital, and yeah.
Okay, so then you became dilated, like...
Immediately. So, and then in somewhere in that, I was able to take a nap. So I took a little nap because I could kind of relax. I don't know why. And then I woke up, and then they I think they were checking me, and I woke up, and then I was almost there, but then I became very nauseous. So I started throwing up. So then I was fully dilated, and then they had me push. And all I can remember is pushing and taking a break, throwing up, pushing, taking a break, throwing up. And then, which my husband he was in the room. I made him be in the room. He didn't want to be in the room because he was worried he was going to pass out. But he doesn't remember me throwing up at all. And I was like, really? You don't remember like the green bile in the... I remember that. So, I think they had to do an episiotomy because she had a very large head, like my husband. And but she came out normal. She was fine. They took her to, you know, check her, and then she came right back. And besides that, it was like pretty quick. Like the pushing was like, I don't know, half an hour tops. So yeah, it was pretty fast after that. Yeah.
Well, you had spent 2 days working on it. You at least deserve that.
Right.
So what about the eating in those 2 days?
Yeah, so I could eat for the most part, with the Pitocin and stuff. So, I mean, I think I was a vegetarian before I was pregnant. And when I in all that sickness, I started having dreams about corned beef sandwiches. So I ate one day and I felt so much better. And so I wasn't a vegetarian anymore. So I remember eating a hamburger before giving birth, like in the cafeteria at the hospital. But I think that's what I threw up. Ugh, yuck. So.
you've gone back to being a vegetarian?
No, I haven't actually. Yeah, no. My daughter always jokes that I'm the one, like she's the one who broke me up being a vegetarian. Probably better off being a vegetarian again, but.
What was it like when they pulled
her out? Yeah, it was, I mean, it was amazing. Like, she was like, she looked just like my husband. That was the first thing. Like, I was so excited to see this child that might look like me. And then she gets handed to me and I was like, oh, she looks just like you. Which, I mean, my husband's adorable. So I was like, oh, okay, great. She's a good looking baby. But I was really excited. It was great to see someone like of my own flesh and blood because I had never known that in my life. And but I was also concerned because I was like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing as a mother here. Like I've never changed a diaper. I've never given a bottle. I've never breastfed. Like, I don't know these things. So I was concerned too. I guess it was like kind of mixed feelings. As with any, I don't know, a lot of times, like, when I'm happy, there's always this element of worry or something. So there was kind of that mixed feeling.
So had you planned on breastfeeding or bottle feeding?
I wasn't sure. And then I kind of thought, well, maybe I would do a little both. So I did start to do breastfeeding because I knew that was probably best for her immune system. But her nurse was not very nice about it. And... she was kind of like militant, like if she doesn't do it right now, she's never going to do it. So there was all this pressure and there's problems with like latching and those kind of things. But I just kept on trying and it finally worked out, but not with, you know, any help to the nurse we had some really fantastic, nice nurses, but then we had some nurses that weren't so nice. And so that was one of them. I called her. I don't know, the breastfeeding Nazi. She was so, and then she was really, she's like, well, we're not giving her formula because if she has formula, she'll never breastfeed. And so, but I think we ended up giving her some formula at some point in the hospital and it was fine. She took both. So she took both until when she was like 2 weeks, my husband accidentally dropped her on her head. Yeah, and we had to rush her to the hospital. And she was fine. She fractured a hairline fracture in her skull, somewhere where babies, it typically happens to children if they fall. And so they kept her overnight for observation, and they gave us some formula to give her because she wanted to nurse most of the time, but I was like, it was the middle of the night. I was like, I'll just give her some formula. She never would take another bottle ever again.
Bottle of?
Formula, milk, nothing. Like, she went from breast to sippy cup. Like, never would take a bottle ever again after that. And I don't really know exactly why, but that's just the way it was.
So how old was she at that point?
She was 2 weeks old.
So at 2 weeks old, she went back on the breast?
Yeah. Like, we were kind of intermittent, like, bottle, breast. But then after that incident, she never would drink from a bottle. Unless it was breast milk, and sometimes she would.
So how was breastfeeding for you?
For the most part, it was fine. But there was this time at night from, like, 6 to 10 that she would get kind of colicky. And she would cry, and then she wouldn't latch on. And she would go through these phases of wanting to breastfeed, but not, and screaming, and this and that. So it was always, every night, like 4 hours. And it didn't matter. Like, I tried eating different things. I tried different soothing techniques. I tried and it was just something she just had to outgrow eventually, I guess. But yeah, there was, I don't know, 5-6 months of that kind of stuff. Yeah, but she was a colicky, like, she would get gas a lot, and I would try to, like, not do this or not do that, not eat this, not eat that, and it never really seemed to make too much of a difference. And then the doctors were like, well, you know, their digestive system, they just have to, sometimes they just have to figure themselves out. And you're like, yikes. So I don't know if we would give her little gas tablets or something, maybe. It's so long ago. But maybe we tried to do that, or, yeah. It seems like it kind of worked itself out eventually. But always had to be held, always had to be moving, like, constant motion. And I think because during my pregnancy, I worked, and I was in constant motion almost all the time, so, except for when I was asleep, and then she was in constant motion. So I think she always needed that. So we had, like, the swing thing. My best friend's mother gave me the swing. She's like, you're going to want this. And I was like, really? If she wasn't in our arms, she was in that swing. She could never lay her on a blanket on the ground and just have her wiggle. She would immediately erupt into screams. Yeah. So always, and I think I must have been that way too as a baby. I heard stories from my great aunt that used to say, oh, you were in your crib just screaming, and I would go in and I would get you and I'd be your hero. So we actually named Alice after that aunt. So it's, and her full name is Alizarin. So she's named after the color alizarin crimson. But then her short name, because I grew up with a different weird name, we decided to nickname her after my Aunt Alice, who in turn, I did find my biological parents and had a relationship with my father. And his mother was named Alice, which is crazy. So it turned out that it was a family name, and we just had no idea that it was a family name.
Yeah. So do you have siblings?
I have an adopted brother, and then I have a half brother that's 6 months older than me, and I have, obviously a different one. And then I have a half sister who passed away, who's a year or two younger than me, and then a half brother too. My mother had twins a couple of years after I was born. So, and my dad was married, and his wife was pregnant. Obviously, marriage was not going well. Cheated on his wife with my mother, and got my mother pregnant.
So. Was she a young mother?
She was 27. And so it was 1971 in Cincinnati, Ohio, where women did not get pregnant unless you were a woman of a certain type. And so she was a nurse. And so that was not going to be acceptable to where she lived. So she was from Kentucky, and she ended up going up to somewhere in Cincinnati and worked at a Catholic social service adoption place where she would help deliver the babies. And then she had me. And then after she had me, she went back home. So she mysteriously disappeared for a year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So, but since then, you know, with your husband's family, you've had other role models in terms of mothering and things like that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. You had a really rough time, actually, but you were such a good attitude about it.
I have had kind of a rough life. And, people sometimes ask me questions about my life. And, especially, the whole thing of, oh, you found your parents? And what was that like? And then I tell them the whole story, and then they're like, ugh. And I'm like, sorry. Did you want me to make up the ending? Because I could have made a really good ending for you. But it turned out that my mother, she was happy that I found her. But my half-sister died 6 months before I found her. So I think my mother, and I don't know her, but I have a feeling she has issues with depression. So my half-brother told my mother that she was not allowed to see me and I was not allowed to come to the house. So, so we don't really have a relationship. But she did. Oh, there's someone here.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been asking women because we're categorizing these stories into themes to see if they can, asking if you could possibly think of a word or a phrasing of words that kind of describes your experience or encapsulates it for us somehow. It's a really tough question.
I think discovery. I kind of figured out who I was through this whole process. So, with weird family life and all that stuff, that it really helped me solidify who I am and how I am. So
that's really nice.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good ending.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, that's good. I